Welcome to Wellness Rebranded, the podcast where a dietitian, a personal trainer, and a mental health therapist get together to explore health and wellness from three different healing perspectives. I'm Elizabeth, registered dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor.
I'm Maria, licensed mental health therapist.
And I'm Tara, personal trainer. We believe in finding ways to nourish a healthy relationship with our mind and body, eating for well-being, not weight, finding joy in moving our bodies, and embracing and understanding our emotions. We are here to help you redesign your relationship with food, fitness, and yourself.
How great would it be if you got science-based guidance from qualified professionals instead of trying out conflicting, overhyped, and unproven trends?
If that sounds as awesome to you as it does to us, join us every week as we dig into strategies to enrich and enhance our day-to-day life and health.
And let's start rebranding your wellness journey.
Welcome back to another episode of Wellness Rebranded. This episode, we are talking all about self-care. There are six different realms of self-care, right, Maria? Six or eight, I guess, depending where you look.
Yeah, good point.
And we today wanted to talk to you about physical self-care. And this is something that I'm super passionate about. Intuitive eating is a self-care eating framework, but ultimately it really truly is all about self-care and how you're taking care of yourself and your body. So where should we jump in, guys?
What is physical self-care, according to you?
According to me, it's anything you do to help take care of your body.
Yeah, your physical well-being.
Your physical well-being. My number one self-care thing is get enough sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think we neglect that. We think about like exercising and, you know, nourishing, but sleep, if you don't have sleep, man, things are not going well for you.
Yeah.
I'm definitely sleep deprived today. So it's ironic you brought that up. I did not sleep well last night. Yeah. I define self-care as literally the most fundamental ways you're taking care of your body every day. Mm-hmm. Not, yes, manicures, pedicures, bubble baths, massages, all of those things are certainly self-care, but I think it misses a really fundamental, important point of the conversation when you just focus on those things, which is what are just the day-to-day ways taking care of your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, all the things, health every day. How are you eating, right? Mm-hmm. What are you eating? How are you moving? How are you sleeping? How are you managing your stress? Are you making doctor's appointments?
Yes.
Like just those, are you getting, you know, I just got the shingles vaccine yesterday and I very much, that is a form of self-care, right? How are you speaking to yourself? There's so many ways of looking at it. And I think when we just gloss over the bubble baths part, we're missing the more fundamental ways.
And I think it's a decision. Self-care is a daily decision, even a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Because if it's something that you do here and there, then it's not a practice. Mm-hmm. And no wonder why sometimes we go on those long vacations and we come back as tired. I mean, the vacation is great and it's part of self-care. But when you do it, little bits of it during the day, even several times a day, then you make it part of how you live. And then those little things we do have such a bigger impact because it comes to be the, you know, the bigger thing to do, like going to the gym. Like if you go and you lift 2 weight pounds all the time and then you move to the 5 pounds and then you move to the 10 and then, you know, then it's a practice and you, you know, nourish that muscle, however we want to say it. Same with self-care. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think is the biggest obstacle that people find to practice self-care? Because it's so important, but is it because we think it has to be big? Is it because we think it's selfish? Like, I mean, the concept that we have is, I don't know.
I think let's talk through them, right? Because those are the biggest objections people have to self-care. So awesome question. Before we start answering though, I think we should tell people that the inspiration for this episode was our brand new ultimate wellness rebranded self-care tool / planner, right?
Yep.
Yes. We came up with this great resource so related to this episode. So take a look, pause for a minute or after you listen to the whole episode and look on the show notes and click to get these amazing workbook / planner
Slash ideas, right? Mm-hmm. It is, we have poured a lot of energy. It is 100% free just for our listeners. Mm-hmm. And we did it because we wanted to bring the mission outside of the podcast, right? And give you other tools and ways of being in our communities and taking care of yourself. And so it's full of self-care ideas that we've personally curated, all mm-hmm. of us. Journal prompts. There's some, you know, habit trackers in there.
Yeah.
There's a discussion of self-care. So yeah, be sure to download that. It's totally free. It's our gift to you, but please take it and have fun with it.
Because and let us know how you like it.
Yeah.
Oh, and let us know if it's helpful for you.
And because it's that important.
Yes.
Like really as a therapist, if you ask me what is really important, I mean, there's so many things, but taking care of yourself in all those eight dimensions that we'll name in a minute, it's important because we're also going to talk about what happens when you do not, mm-hmm. what could happen when you do not take care of yourself. And how do you know that self-care is super important? There are some signs about that too, that maybe your body telling you, girl, do some self-care because we are on depleted, empty.
Yeah, just this morning I was doing a whole health strategy call with someone, which is sort of like a consultation call. And she said, it's time to pay the piper. I just haven't been prioritizing myself. And now I have these health things. And I think the idea behind self-care is maybe you can avoid some of those, running into some of those health concerns. Not all of them, right? You can practice self-care and still get sick, still get diseases, still have conditions.
Yeah,
but you can do a lot of benefits. So, all right, what do you think are obstacles. The biggest objections or obstacles, Tara?
I think time is a big one.
Yeah.
People think self-care needs to take a lot of time, right? Like, I need to go get a massage. Mm-hmm. I need to go to the gym and do these things. I know, like, even when I look at my own life, it's mm-hmm. like, man, I'm so busy most of the time that I can't even respond to, like, a text message in a timely mm-hmm. fashion without taking my attention off the people that I'm serving at the moment. So I think people are like, man, I just don't have time to do my deep breathing or go to the grocery store and get veggies or whatever the case may be. Just time.
Mm-hmm.
Big one.
So time is one. Cost.
It's a big one. Cost.
Might be a hard one. Sure. People thinking that self-care requires
a lot of
money. Yeah.
I think that it feels selfish.
Yeah.
Right. Or other people. I just was meeting with someone yesterday, you know, but my family member gets upset if I spend too much time at the gym or, you know.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. No, that makes me really sad.
I know, but I always think like, self-care affects everyone. When you feel that's going to have an effect on the people around you. So
a positive effect, right?
Yeah.
So, you're growing up as your better self.
Yep.
Hey, those 2 hours at the gym, I'm actually preventing
a
whole week of me yelling at everyone.
Yeah,
I totally agree. And something else I hear a lot is particularly from women, often particularly from kind of maybe older women, more my age and older. Like, I don't even know what that means. I literally don't know what it means.
Great point.
Oh man, that's a deep one.
Yeah. Okay. They've just spent a lifetime prioritizing everyone and everything else and literally
putting themselves last.
Yeah. Yep. And just, I don't even know what that means to take care of myself. I've never allowed myself to do that.
Hey, so
that's so sad.
Parenthesis here. Do you think, I mean, I think there's some pressures out there that the more you do for others or the constant busyness sometimes is related or associated with effectiveness. And then you're a better person because you're constantly busy and doing stuff for other people.
I definitely think that.
Or the belief that if you're a mother, you have to almost like be suffering. Like if you're suffering, then are doing something. And I don't think that's based on any.
I think like
some cultural messaging for
sure. Yes.
Not helpful.
Yeah. I feel like my culture tells me that if I rest and just do nothing, that I'm being lazy and not productive.
Correct.
So it feels like, oh, I shouldn't do that. You know,
I know a lot of people that resting or doing nothing feels there's the guilt too. So maybe that's another obstacle.
Yeah.
Feeling guilty
that goes along with the selfishness part, probably, right?
I very much felt that last night on the way to our hip hop class, Maria, because I've been out of town for a day and a half, right? Mm-hmm. And I got back on Wednesday night at midnight, woke up, saw my son in the morning, and then picked him up from school yesterday, and then immediately got home, made dinner, gave him a bath, and I was like, I'm going to hip hop class. And he had like an epic meltdown. Like uncontrollable meltdown. And I decided, like, okay, I'm not going. I need to put my family first here. I've been out of town, like, clearly this isn't working. And my husband walked in and was like, just go. Like, get out of here and go. Like, he'll calm down once you're gone. So I was like, okay. But I went, and a whole ride to hip hop class, I was so down. You know, feeling like, am I doing the right thing? Like, why am I leaving my child crying? And I was just out of town, and here I am going to hip hop class of all things. And like, I definitely could have missed this and it would have been okay. And like, then it spiraled into like, why did I even sign up for this? Like, do I have time for this even? And then I left class feeling great because endorphins. And I came home and my whole family was happy.
I was going to say, and you showed up back home as more...
Probably more effective, more present, more
all the things.
Yep.
So shall we go through and reframe some of these common challenges? Okay. That requires remembering them. All right. Time. How do we want to reframe that for people?
There's many practices that require a minute of your time, 60 seconds of your time.
Yeah.
For example, some intentional deep breathing. You can do in 60 seconds.
Yeah. Walking outside and getting some sunshine for 1 minute has an impact.
Yes. I'm big with smells. Like, I think in my previous life, I was a dog.
Out of nowhere.
Okay, what kind of dog?
I don't know. Like, those that are really good at finding stuff with their nose or something.
A hound.
So... touch and smell are big for me.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, I love to get some nice lotion with my favorite smells because I'm very picky, can't be just any.
Yeah.
And just going to my bathroom, get my favorite lotion, putting my hands in my arms, it takes less than 60 seconds. It's intentional.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do this and I enjoy the smell. It's a, believe it or not, it's a grounding technique, brings you to the present moment at the same time you're doing something productive for your skin. It's self-care.
Yeah.
No money, no time.
Yeah. Same with getting up and getting something to eat, right? It's so common for people. Oh, I'm not even eating. I'm just so busy during the day. Mm-hmm. Just that act of pausing and getting something to eat, anything to eat, is more an act of self-care than not eating for hours and hours and hours and hours on end. Getting up and going to the bathroom is something I actually hear from people.
I struggle with that.
I just try to hold it as long as I can. Mm-hmm. Getting up and going when before you, without doing that, is an act of self-care.
Yeah.
So is just getting up out of your chair.
Yes. By the way, the intentional part is important. Because if you go to the bathroom and you go to the bathroom, okay. But if you go to the bathroom and maybe you tell yourself, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm giving myself.
Because my need matters.
Because my need matters and I don't need to hold my basic needs. You tell that and you are already practicing something so important, sending the message to your brain and yourself. I got you. I'm doing this intentionally because I care. And self-care is a necessity, not a luxury.
Yeah.
It's a necessity.
Yeah.
I feel like my needs matter could be like the theme for this.
The title of the episode.
Your
needs matter. Yes.
Also, can we talk about the flip side of time where, yes, self-care can be really super fast, but sometimes it has to be a little bit longer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's okay to take that time to do it. And also, frequently, I feel like you come back better, right? Like my example with hip-hop class, I got back from hip-hop class last night, and then I was a better person. I was more present. I was more productive, even though none of that really matters.
Yeah.
It still had a genuine, like, net positive effect.
Yeah, and I also think it's important on that same note to talk about there are going to be times and seasons when you are super busy, right? You just have an outsized share of things going on. And then thinking about, you know, some of the ways of self-care just becomes another thing on your to-do list. And so it's okay to also allow that some weeks are going to look a little bit different and maybe you're not going to do as many of the self-care things, but can you have a non-negotiables list? What are your, you know, non-negotiable mm-hmm. forms of self-care that you're going to do even when it's your busiest, most stressful, most hectic week? For example, maybe it is literally just making sure you eat meals. Maybe it is mm-hmm. setting yourself a time when you're going to, you know, go to bed that mm-hmm. night, or, you know, having water with you.
Some weeks my non-negotiable is just showering at least three times.
Yeah.
That sounds so minimal, but
No, for a while
that was like my one thing I was doing is
yeah.
I didn't wash shave my legs very often, but
yeah. And I just think it's important to acknowledge that sometimes it's okay to be doing a little bit less.
Yeah.
If you're doing the most fundamental, and then you get back to it as soon as you possibly can, mm-hmm. right? And also, sorry, Maria, but if you're in a perpetual season of I never have time for this, then what would you recommend?
Okay, two thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
One non-negotiable for me is my bedtime routine.
Mm-hmm.
So when my kids come during my bedtime routine, I'm like, mommy's in her bedtime routine, I'll be there in a minute. And that includes going to the bathroom, brushing my teeth, putting my anti-wrinkle lotions that not necessarily work, as you can see, but I brush my hair, you know, and I'm doing it intentionally. It feels good to me. It feels like cozy to go to bed mm-hmm. with my routine, because then I get in bed and I feel...
It helps you wind down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that at that time, if I'm being interrupted, I'm like, I'll be right there. I mean, I don't interrupt my routine unless there's blood or fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's a non-negotiable. But the other thought is that something that I learned from Alison Loftus, business coach that we all know, is to schedule your times for self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are like me that follow a calendar kind of thing, you're never going to find time. You're going to fill those spots with something mm-hmm. else that mm-hmm. seems productive according to our beliefs or whatever that is. But scheduling this day, I'm going to, and I write down, doing nothing, which for me.
And that is a form of self-care.
Absolutely. For me, doing nothing might mean that I look at my phone for a while, or that I sat down and watched Netflix show, and it can be at 3 p.m. if I mm-hmm. didn't have an appointment that day, and I put an hour there for mm-hmm. myself, I call a friend. And so it's scheduling helps because then it is something that you can do and it's important as everything else you have scheduling that calendar.
If you're trying to prioritize it, getting it on your calendar is going to help you do
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a quote by this trainer that I love that says the best time to start a workout program is when you're way too busy to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought is that if you do it when you're so super busy, you just learn to fit it in. You're not going to like neglect it
mm-hmm.
when, you know, you no longer have time. Does that make
right.
sense? Like if you start when it's really easy, like when you get busy, you'll forget about it. But if you start when you're busy, you learn to like schedule around it and make it a non-negotiable.
Yeah. Well, and also I sometimes say to my clients when they're really, really busy and, you know, it feels hard to focus on nutrition, if we can get you doing it now, then it's going to be so much easier all the other time.
Totally.
Right? If you can do it now, you can do it anytime.
Yep.
And P.S. now might be, maybe you're relying on a little bit more convenience foods or, you know, mm-hmm. pre-made stuff. And then down the road, you can do more home, you know, there's flexibility around it. But.
And if you don't, I read this somewhere and I know it's more, you know, more like a scary quote or something, but it hit me when I read it. If you don't make time for self-care right now, then get ready to make time for a doctor's visit or a therapist mm-hmm. visit, which is fine. And I know maybe it's not the best quote, but it made me think like, yeah, it is preventive.
Mm-hmm.
Taking care of yourself is actually preventive, hopefully for something bigger.
Well, and I think our healthcare system isn't great at preventive medicine.
Oh,
right?
Totally.
And so I love that you sort of reframe it that way. Self-care is health promotion and, mm-hmm. you know, disease prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also just a human right to take care of your basic needs.
Absolutely.
I actually have this crazy story. This guy came into the gym this morning and I just happened to be sitting at my desk. And he was like, hey, I'm coming in because I had a triple bypass like a month ago. And I was like, are you cleared to be here?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, the cardiac rehab was way like, you know, 4 months out before I could get in there. So the doctor said just to come to the gym and be easy. Yeah. And so in chatting with him, I discovered that he had like nothing wrong, like no symptoms or whatever. And he went in for something unrelated. And then they discovered that he had like all these blockages in his heart. And all of his friend group was like, oh my gosh. And so they all went to get tested because of him. And like three of them also had blockages that required like a surgery, like treatment.
Wow.
So because of this thing that he found out about himself and then sharing it with his loved ones, like he could have saved lives.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know?
And this is a great example of how our healthcare system isn't really great about preventive, because none of them were having those conversations with their doctors.
Yeah. So again, a plug for making your I just went for my annual physical yesterday, so I guess it's in my mind, but
I have a dentist appointment next week.
Yeah, I mean
I have my mammogram.
Tomorrow. Yes, I'm getting a bone density scan.
Oh, look at us guys.
All right, Maria, what else do we need to talk about for self-care before we wrap up?
Well, just very quickly, maybe some signs that you are in need of self-care. Like for example,
you're alive.
Well, it's true.
Yes.
But what are the red flags?
Signs that you're not getting
enough. Or the red light that, okay, get it now, you really need it. Is, for example, for me, is irritability, where I'm very irritable. I'm like in the, how do you say, like in the line between getting very depleted. So that's a sign from my body, you need to attend to yourself.
Yeah.
For some people, it's isolation. When you start isolating from people, if your pattern was to be social, that's something we tend to do.
Yeah.
When we're feeling on empty, right?
Yeah, I mean, really, it goes back to how you feel, right? If you have low energy, if you're feeling sick, if you are, every meal you eat is not making you feel good, if you're feeling sluggish because you're not making time for movement, right? Mm-hmm. It's really how you feel. If you don't feel good in your body, then that may be a sign that not always, but it might be that you're not getting enough self-care.
If you feel tired constantly, if you feel without motivation and that was not your pattern, those might be signs that if you're become really negative in your thinking and the things that you're saying, can also be a sign that it's time to pump up. Is that a word? Like pump up your self-care? Is pump up a word? Okay, pump up.
That works.
It can be pump a word. Boost. Bump up, your, boost.
Yeah. So again, check out our freebie that we have for you, because there are several ideas, simple and quick.
Yeah. 40 ideas, or 50, actually.
Yes,
yeah, a lot.
That you can check to and practice and try.
Yeah.
Simple, quick, but impactful for your self-care.
Yeah. And they're specific, which is what I loved about those ideas.
Thank you again for listening. Again, check on our show notes for that link that will take you to that freebie. Please go out there, take care of yourself. Our next episode is going to be about emotional self-care, and we'll let you know what the other areas of self-care are so you can start planning and taking action towards taking care of you, the most important thing in this world.
Sneak in a cliffhanger at the end there.
I know, I love. I'm going to do it more and more.
Yes.
See you next time. Thank you for listening. If you want to connect with me outside of this podcast, you can find me on Instagram at coaching_therapist.
I'm Elizabeth. You can find me at Elizabeth Harris Nutrition or in my Facebook group, Health and Healing with Intuitive Eating.
And I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Tara De Leon Fitness. Guys, if you loved this episode or any of our other episodes, we would love it if you would leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps us get the non-diet word out to the rest of the world. So please leave us a review.
Yes, thank you.